Welcome to the third season of Talk Copy to Me. I'm so grateful to have you join me here in 2024 to talk about all things copywriting, content, and content strategy. On this episode, we're going to cover the most common website pages and what you need to consider when you're writing them. So tune in and let's talk copy. Hey friends, welcome to the Talk Copy to Me podcast. Here we empower small business owners to step into the spotlight with their marketing and messaging. I'm your host, Erin Olilla. Let's get started and talk copy. If you've been following along with the podcast for some time now, you know that we're covering website copy so you can get your website into tip-top shape. Now, today's episode is where we're actually going to start talking about doing the writing. If you missed the episodes where we talked about doing research, surveys, competitor research, customer research, all the research, my friends, if you missed them, go back and give them a listen because they're going to be really helpful in getting all of the messaging information that you need to do your job right now, and that's writing the actual pages. Today's episode is going to cover some of the most common website pages, but don't worry, I will be back to talk about some other pages in future episodes. Today, we're going to cover the homepage, about page, services page, shop page, blog page, and last but certainly not least, the contact page quickly. So you know some of the most important things to either write or consider when you're writing these pages. Let's just jump right in and kick things off with the homepage, which, if we're going to be honest with each other, it's the virtual front door of your business. It's the first impression, and it's what shares the most information about your business in the most concise manner. So the visitors of your website can decide if they're in the right place. It is crucial on your homepage when you're writing to make sure that you're grabbing the attention of these website visitors and you make a lasting impression. But I want to be clear here. Well, actually, it's funny I say the word clear. I want to be clear in that when you're making an impression on your homepage, it is not your job to be clever. Clarity, being clear, that's why I was joking before, being clear with the message that you share is what will make a huge impact. And if you've done the research like we talked about in the last handful of episodes at this point, you're going to know exactly what to do, which brings me to tip one on what to consider and how to approach writing your homepage. And that tip is to make sure that you have compelling headlines. So let's start off with one of the most important headlines on your homepage, and that is the statement that you make in the hero section of the homepage. Not sure what that means? The hero section is the uppermost part of a website, generally what you see when the screen loads. It is the statement that clearly describes what your website is about, which if you're a business owner, it's what your business is about, who you serve, and how you serve them. It is not a paragraph. Nope. At most, you will have a headline that has a subhead, which is basically just a quick little snapshot of additional information to further explain what your headline is about. But you want the hero section heading to really clearly indicate what your business is about and make sure that the website viewer who lands on your page actually really wants to be there. Now, continuing to talk about the homepage, I'm going to keep this page brief since we did a replay episode about two episodes ago that covered it, like everything from the top to bottom of the homepage. But let's stay on headings and subheadings. Visually, the way that we share information is very important. It's strategic, if I may say so. And you need headings and subheadings to help you make your point, to clearly articulate the message of the page, and showcase what the end user, your website viewer, can expect to get from your entire website. That is the job of the homepage. Now, let's not forget about clear calls to action. Without these elements on a homepage, the end user is not going to know what type of action that they can take to move along your site. You want to dictate that to them. You want to take them on a journey through your website. So once you've gotten all of the messaging clearly figured out and you know what you want to share with the person on your homepage, you want to make sure that you direct them to the right place. A homepage is an area in which you may have multiple calls to action. So for example, if you are directing them to your services at the top of the page, they might have a button that goes to individual services pages. Or if you are a solopreneur, maybe you have a small about section on your homepage and that leads to your about page. Now, those were just a few examples. Other instances could be blog posts, podcast show notes that direct them to a blog or podcast page. Regardless of that, many other pages, when you talk to copywriters about what goes on the page, they want you to have one clear call to action, one clear journey for the end user to go on for each individual page. With a homepage, for example, you have a little bit more leeway here. So determine before you write where you want to direct your website viewer, and then you'll have a better idea of what information to share with them. So that's it right now for the homepage. Again, there was a really great episode 2 episodes ago that talked about how to outline and what to write on a homepage. So if this is a page you're working on, I highly suggest you go back and give it a listen because it will be a lot more detailed on what to share. Now, before we continue, I just want to say a big thank you to one of our listeners who gave us a review on Apple Podcast. This is from Anna Maid Design Co., and she wrote, "Love the experts Erin brings in and the specific topics they cover weekly. It's really nice to have a grouping of episodes covering similar topics from different angles. Excited to keep listening in 2024. Thank you so much for listening, Anna. I really appreciate your review. If you're listening to the episode right now and you have Apple Podcast up, it only takes a second to leave a review for the Talk Copy to Me podcast. I would sincerely appreciate it. And while you're at it, you might as well review some of your other favorite podcasts because podcast hosts rely on their reviews to help expand the listenership of their shows. And it just feels really good when you hear kind words about your show. So thank you again, Anna. And I'd love more reviews if you have a moment to give me one. So let's continue. And we're going to talk about the About page, which is one of my favorite pages to write for my clients. Now, a lot of my clients struggle with giving me the information that I need for their About page. And a lot of the reason that happens is two things, actually. One, because they do not know the correct balance between the personal and professional of what to share. And two, because it's somewhat difficult to showcase yourself in a positive light without seeming like you're boasting and bragging. A lot of my clients tend to be way too modest when it comes to their about page, and it isn't until I nudge them quite a bit that I find out that there's some really incredible facets to their personality, some experience that they have, and things that really need to be highlighted to showcase them as the expert that they are. So if you are struggling with your about page, no, that's totally common and everyone struggles with their about page. However, your about page is really important because it's your chance to build trust, to showcase the human element of your business in some instances. Obviously, not all businesses are going to have a very personal about page. And it also allows the website visitor to know that you actually have all the tools and skills that you need in order to give them what it is that they need or desire. Think of your about page kind of like a wingman who showcases you in the best light possible. So let's jump in and talk about some of the ways that we can approach writing an about page. The first thing is we want to know what the brand story is, or another way to put that would be what the messaging is before we sit down to write. So what information do you have that your audience will connect with? You know, some of these brand stories could be what inspired you to start your business journey or transformations that you have had personally, but they don't have to be personally related. That's something I really want to make sure you understand very clearly. You do not need to tell a personal story when you tell a brand story, but it is important to have an idea of what the business is about and why it is what it is. So another way to do that without sharing too many personal things could be what motivates you, what inspires you, where you've learned something and how that has changed the evolution of your business. If you are not a solopreneur and you have multiple people who work for you, it's very, very critical to showcase your team members on your about page as well as yourself. I should probably have said that first. You want to introduce yourself. An about page allows you to introduce yourself. Do not be fooled into thinking that the about page is about you. It is not. I'm pretty sure episode 5 of the podcast was about the homepage not being about you, and I highly recommend that you listen to that episode. But you do want to introduce yourself. Obviously, that's what we're talking about by sharing expertise. Once you're done that, if you have team members, introduce them as well. People love to know the faces behind a brand, and having faces in addition to yours is really adding that personal touch so that your potential clients know who they're working with and who they're hiring. When we talk about things like expertise, sometimes timelines or milestones can do really well on the about page. For example, you know, what are some of your achievements? How has your business evolved? What are some of the big wins that you've gotten over time? Maybe your education is something that you list on a milestone. Maybe any key moments in your career that kind of like set you on a different trajectory could be in the timeline. Testimonials are also very great for about pages because everyone understands when they click on an about page that it is the business owner or the overall business, again, if you have a team, it's their opportunity to showcase themselves. So when you have other people speaking your praise on your about page, it's that wingman that I mentioned earlier, right? It's that support that it's not just you that's saying you're great, but other people think that you are great as well. So again, we really want to highlight on our about pages that we understand what the need or desire of our audience is and why we or our business overall are ideally set up to meet that need and desire. So it's not just about showcasing why we're wonderful. It's about showcasing why we are ideally suited to assist the person reviewing the about page. Okay, so the next two pages that we're going to talk about are the shop page and the services page. And there's a reason that I'm listing both and explaining right now. Obviously, not everyone who listens to this podcast are service providers. Many are, but there are also many individuals out there that do not sell services. However, they may have products or courses or programs. So when I say that you need a services page and a shop page, I do not mean that you need both. You may have both. For example, I do sell services and I sell products in my business. But for the longest time, I did not sell products. So I was a service-only based business. I would not have needed to add a shop page to my site. And if that sounds like you, you don't either. Similarly, if you don't sell any services at all and you only sell products to your customers, cool, don't make a services page. So I guess at this point, here we are 14 minutes in, I'm asking you to decide, do you need a services page only, a shop page only, or both pages on your website? Now, once you have made that decision, let's carry on and we'll start talking about your services page. Again, there is a great episode on services pages, and I really want to encourage you to listen to this before you write your website services page, because I break down the different options that you have for a services page. Very quick review is that you can have one services page that lists all of your offers, you can have a, kind of like a landing page services page that links out to secondary services pages. Or if you offer two distinct things, let's say as an example, maybe you have two key services pages. Again, this is something you want to decide before knowing what goes on the page. But the most important thing, regardless of your decision, is that you're writing detailed and clear descriptions of the services that you offer. But here's where things get a little difficult. You want to make sure that you're providing enough detailed descriptions for each services. So you're doing the answering of who, what, when, why, where, and sharing everything that someone needs to know in order to make a decision. But you also don't want to give too much information on a services page. And that's absolutely true if you are putting multiple services on one page. You want to give only the most relevant and important information. Now, additional quick tip about this, I always tell people that it is so much easier to edit things out versus trying to add them in. So if you're writing multiple services here, I would say write all the details and then cull them down if you have too many. The other thing I want to talk about is pricing, because pricing is such an important detail on a services page. It's very important to be transparent about your pricing. It not only helps your customer make a decision on whether you're the service provider that they should hire, but it helps you kind of weed through your leads so you know who your serious potential buyers are and the website viewers who are not serious about moving forward or paying for your services can self-select out. If you're looking for some other ideas on what goes on a services page, again, clear calls to action are very important here, just like they are on the homepage, because we want people to make purchasing decisions. You should never have a services page that showcases what you can do if you're not telling people how they can buy that service, or at least how they can contact you to learn more about working together in the future. And don't forget about a good, strong, solid, frequently asked questions section. FAQs are some of my favorite things to write for websites. They're your opportunity to anticipate common questions and provide answers to them, or even just provide answers that help people make better buying decisions, even if they're not a common question that's asked. In addition to all of these things, assuming you have room here, which you may not, I again don't want you to overwrite and have too much information on your services pages, but you may want to consider other visual-like things or messaging indicators that will help them make decisions. For example, do you have case studies from former clients? Do you have testimonials from former clients? And if so, are you able to include them on the page without distracting from the main point of what you're trying to do on a services page? And that is to convert the website viewer into an actual purchaser. If you can't do it without distracting them, don't include them. But they are helpful, especially on a services page for something that is maybe a larger price where people need more reinforcement when it comes to their buying decision. All right, let's talk about that shop page for a second. If you have an online store, a shop page is really going to be, you know, the key to your e-commerce operation. You should make sure that you have your products listed. And that sounds obvious, but I cannot tell you how many clients I have worked with that did not have their entire product suite on their shop page. You want to, you know, make a clear list of what products you're going to have on the page. And then you might want to kind of indicate if any of them are featured products. A featured product section highlights select items, and you're doing that so you can better capture attention, right? And then direct sales to those things. In addition to the products that you have listed, and you're obviously going to want high quality images here, detailed product information is really what will help people go from being curious about the products that you have to being a conscious purchaser. So in your product information, again, like a services page, we want to be concise here, but you will want to include specifications, sizes, materials, anything like that that comes along. You could also have a frequently asked questions section for each product, or at least on the main shop page. And similar to the services page, though I would say even more important, is that you have clear pricing on all of your products. You want to ensure that the pricing information that you share is easy to find, because hidden costs will lead to frustration. And let's not even get into the idea that if your website viewers don't know how much your products are, but there is a buy button, they're often not going to click the button because they don't know what they're getting into. So make sure your pricing is clear, that everything is simple and streamlined. And I highly recommend that you check your checkout process if you're reviewing your shop page or creating it for the first time, because this is your opportunity to see if the customer experience you're giving your customers is to the level that you want it to be. And if not, it shows you what you can do to make changes in order to give the best customer experience to your new customers. All right, one page that so many people have, and I always see it in the top navigation bar, but I don't necessarily see it frequently updated, is the blog page. But I wanted to put this in this episode, even though we'll talk about blogging again on the podcast, is because it's not just a platform for sharing thoughts. It's really a great opportunity to build your authority and improve your SEO. It's easy to think that if you have a website, it will attract the right website viewer. But let me remind you right now, each page or post of your website is like a door to your business. Now, assuming that you have some of the pages we just talked about, let's just go over them quickly. Homepage, about page, services, shop, and we'll throw contact in there for now. Five pages. Assuming you have those pages, that's five doors, five ways that new customers or clients can find you. That's not enough. I'm going to be honest with you. I love SEO. We talk about it all the time on the show. I've got years of experience in creating content and in learning as well as practicing those SEO skills that I have, but five pages is not enough to get people to your website, and that is why the blog is so important. If we think of blog posts as being additional doors to our business, let's say you publish two a month. Well, that's 26 doors that you create into your business in 1 year. You want to increase that and publish once a week. Now you have 52 additional doors to those, you know, original five doors I mentioned to get people into your sphere. So you may not think that blogging is an appropriate use of your time, and you would be wrong. I'm sorry, you would be wrong. But reconsider it. I've seen so many people say on social media, and I don't even want to go down this route too much, but I've seen so many people say, oh, blogging's making a comeback in 2024. Friends, blogging never went anywhere. If you need any help with figuring out what to blog about, how to approach blogging, or content strategy in general, I will make sure I share the series that we did on creating content this summer in the show notes. It was super helpful, and I think it really easy for people to understand how to create evergreen content that will constantly serve them in their business. I'm also hosting a workshop this month on creating a content strategy, and I will put the invitation for that in the show notes. Make sure you sign up super soon, though, because it's going to be hosted on January 17th of 2024. Again, I'm not going to go too far on blogging in general, but when we look at your blog page, there are a few things I want to make sure that you have on that page. One, that you have engaging post titles that people actually want to click on. Think of these just like we talked about previously with the calls to action. You want to entice people to read what it is that you've written. You also want to make sure that you're following SEO best practices when it comes to things like using the keywords within the blog post themselves and within that title that you're enticing them to click. Because people may be finding you from your blog and not your website itself, it could be very helpful to have an author bio with expertise on your blog page, or at least an explanation of who's blogging, what they're blogging for, and what your business is about. You want to do that just because we cannot rely on our website viewers, again, to maneuver their way around our websites. We want to give them as much good information as we can from their initial point of contact, or in this case, initial point of landing on our site. And you want to make them feel like they're reading something from a real human, not just a business that has no face. So definitely consider having a bio with your expertise, even your face if you want, on your blog page. If possible, I definitely highly recommend that you have a consistent posting schedule. And you want to do that because not only does it help your audience be engaged because you're training them on what to expect from you, but it is a signal to search engines that you have an active site and you're sharing relevant information, which is, you know, very helpful, especially now with the Google helpful content update of the past year and that we'll continue to see in the near to far future. All right, we've come to one of the most neglected but most common pages on any website, and that is the contact page. I can't tell you how many of my clients will be like, do we really even need to bother? Like, what do we actually say on a contact page? Contact pages are the bridge between your business and a new client, my friends. Just because they don't have a lot of words on them doesn't mean that they are not important. They are very important. One of the things people miss most often on a contact page is that hero section. And we talked about it for the homepage. Again, remember, it's basically what the end user sees as soon as they click on the contact page. What comes on the screen first? And that's your opportunity to remind them of who you are, who you serve, and how you can help them. This does not have to be a long paragraph. Again, just like the homepage, you want to make your point in a heading, maybe a subheading. And if there's nothing left for you to say, you want to make clear what the end user can expect from contacting you. For example, you know, we respond to all inquiries within 2 business days, or we will read your podcast pitch and respond to it within 2 weeks. Whatever it is, you want to set expectations on your contact page. Another thing to consider is your contact information, how people can get in touch with you. 2 ways you're going to do this. One is by having a user-friendly contact form. I cannot tell you how important contact forms are, and it is vital to check your contact forms to make sure that they're working and nothing breaks. It is the main way people will contact you from your website. So if you're a wedding photographer, as an example, and you have people inquiring about your availability, they're going to do it from the contact form. If you are an interior designer, they're going to fill out your contact form to see, you know, what your availability is to help them with their home projects. People fill out contact forms because it's the easiest way for them to share what it is that they're looking for with you and wait for your response. But there's another way. I mentioned the user-friendly contact form as being one way to allow people to connect with you. The other way is by having clear contact information. While most people prefer to complete forms, there are other people who just want to bypass that form and get in touch with you as soon as possible. Now, you have all the control over this. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. I am not sure I have any contact information on my contact page because working within the content and copy industry, I was being pitched so often from people who had my email address that I decided to remove it and to screen the contacts that I had from the people who were willing to fill out my form. But many people want to include things such as your business email, your phone number, a physical address, your hours of operation. All of these things are very important depending on, for example, if you have a shop maybe within your town and you have a physical place of business where people need to come to look at the goods that you offer. You definitely want to tell them when they can come to your shop, where you're located, so that they can come without even having to fill out a form or to send you an email or to pick up the phone and call you. But that is going to depend on your own boundaries and the way that you want leads to come into your business. And I just want to say one more thing. Just because I'm mentioning the form and the contact information as two separate things does not mean that you can't have both. You can absolutely have both if you want, or remove the contact information. But above all else, make sure you keep that form on your contact page. Now, that's not it. That's not the only thing your contact page can have. I highly recommend using frequently asked questions on your contact page, or having testimonials on your contact page, or doing something that, again, inspires that conversion-related event, or gets your lead excited about the fact that they're going to contact you and that you're going to respond to them. So that's it. That's your homepage, your about page, your blog page, your services page, shop page, and contact page. These are some of the most common website pages that most websites have. And if you take nothing else from this episode, let the most important thing you take away be that you want your message to be clear and concise through your entire website. You want compelling calls to action on the most important pages of your site. You want to direct your leads around your site in the journey that takes them to the best possible option of conversion so that they have all the information that they need to make a confident purchasing decision. And you want the way that you present this information to be easy for them to understand and not overwhelming. Now, of course, these 5 or 6 pages that I mentioned on this episode are not the only pages you may need on your website. That's going to be custom to each individual business. For example, some will have a portfolio page or a projects page. There are going to be press pages, media pages, events pages, resources, podcast pages, testimonial pages, frequently asked questions, the list goes on. But I want you to focus on these main pages because those are the ones that get the most eyes generally on websites, and they present the information that your leads need to make decisions. I will be back next week where we're going to talk about a few more common website pages that definitely need a little bit more attention because they don't get talked about often, but lots of people have them and are often doing not the best job with them. So I will walk you through how to adjust those if you do have them, or what to consider if you're writing some of these other common website pages for the first time. Thanks for joining me this week, and I hope that your 2024 has started off in the best possible way for you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Talk Copy to Me. If you enjoyed spending your time with me today, I would be so honored if you could subscribe to the show and leave a review. Want to continue the conversation? Head on over to Instagram and follow me at Erin Olilla. Until next time, friends.